Well, quite a task set before us to try to keep you awake after that good meal. And but anyway, we sure appreciate everything. I don't know about you, but I think I know about you. I'm glad to be an American. Amen. I know America's got her problems, but it's the greatest country in the world. And this side of heaven, and I know that we're citizens of another world. And but nonetheless, I'm so thankful for the freedoms that we get to enjoy, and all that the Lord has provided us. And certainly, again, I know that every one of us ought to appreciate. I fear for my children and grandchildren. I'm afraid they're not going to have it the way that we've had it. Sunday school teacher mentioned this morning that things are changing far too rapid and not for the better. But anyway, I'm just thankful for God's blessings. He's been better to us than we deserve. Look, if you will, in John chapter 21, we used the Apostle Peter, bragged on him a little bit this morning. I'm going to kind of beat him up a little bit this evening. So, John chapter 21, you're probably familiar with this. And I didn't ask the preacher how long to preach, and so I'll just do what I normally do at home. I quit preaching when the sun goes down. I'm just... But anyhow, we'll try not to keep you... Somebody said there's two things helped by shortening. One's biscuits and the other's sermons. And so we'll add some shortening to the afternoon service. Amen. The afternoon sermon. But look, if you will, in verse number... I'll tell you what, let's start reading verse number 1. John chapter 21. I know, again, probably a familiar passage of Scripture, and I had something else in mind to preach, but the Lord, I believe, changed our mind to go this direction. And so I know that all you preachers know the heart of a preacher more than anything is to be a help to God's people, and especially to this man of God. I hope you know what you have. We mentioned that sin of getting used to it, and you better thank the Lord for Brother McGovern and his family, because it's not like that everywhere, and there's special people, and I'm not trying to lift them up, but the Lord in their lives, and they truly are some of God's choicest servants, and I think you ought to do everything you can for them. I know as a pastor, I've been pastoring a long time, and, you know, sometimes it's a lonely job. And I know it's not a job, it's a ministry, but still, you may not know a tenth of what he's going through and what his family's dealing with. And so trying to pastor church is can sometimes be a very rewarding position and ministry, and then sometimes it can weigh very heavy. And I believe that God's people ought to do everything they can to encourage the man of God and his dear wife. So I just want to say I appreciate Brother McGovern and thank the Lord for him. And he sure has been a blessing to me. I know we've not been able to spend a whole lot of time together, but just to know him. I remember the first time, I think he came to Florine, showed that video with the New Tribes Missions thing. Yeah, it had an impact on my life, and you probably didn't even know it, but it just to see how that those people in New Guinea were brought from Genesis all the way up to the gospel, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then brought them to the crucifixion, and they were all discouraged and down and out, and then show up at daylight the next morning, and to see those people, I mean, this is videoed, and to see those people, they thought it was over for our Lord, and they got to experience the resurrection and to see the women in one group bouncing up and down, the men in the other group bouncing up and down, just rejoicing the fact that he arose. And I thought, you know, every child of God ought to wake up every morning. Thank God we serve a risen Savior. Amen. And but had an impact. I think of that often. And I the Lord used Brother McGovern to show that and be a help to me. And of course, again, his ministry there as well. And so, but anyway, with that said, look, if you will, in John chapter 21, and we'll start reading verse number 1. The Bible said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. And there were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And verse number 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of his disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. We'll read some more as we get into the message this evening, but if you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be assembled here again this afternoon and to know that, Lord, that there's a purpose, a plan. Lord, I pray that each one of us that have come to this time would come with a desire to hear from thee. Lord, I know that if we just hear from a man, then we'll dust our shoes off and go about our way. But Lord, if we could hear from you tonight and that you'd give the help that's needed, and Lord, that you'll speak to hearts. And I pray that Holy Spirit of God, that you'll just help us to be used of you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege, again, to be, Lord, in this place assembled with what I'd consider a great church. I thank you for them. I pray that you'll bless them now. Help us, we pray, to be a help to them, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know, again, that you are familiar with what's taking place, and certainly the disciples of the Lord. He said it's the third time, and if you counted Mary seeing the Lord, Mary Magdalene, there had been the fourth resurrection appearance, but the third time for the disciples. And so after the second appearance, and if you remember, the Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples, and on that Sunday night, by the way, good to be in the house of God, amen? You never know when the Lord's going to show up, and there'll be something special for you in that service, and you don't make every effort to be there. I know sometimes sickness comes about, things that we cannot control, but I believe that every child of God ought to be in the house of God. Amen. Not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so it's very important because the truth is the Lord has something for every one of us. And I'm thankful for the church. Amen. I'm thankful for the great singing. I enjoyed the singing, the songs, and it always lifts my spirit, always encourages me, and so I'm glad for the house of God. Amen. We see here that after the resurrection of the Lord and all that has taken place. By the way, if you remember, the disciples knew that Jesus had made it abundantly clear. And you remember when he came and cleansed the temple and he made a scourge and drove out the money changers. And right after that, the scribes and the Pharisees, if you remember, they began to question him and attacked him. And so the Lord at that point, right after that, he says, tear down this temple. He said, and 3 days, I'll build it again. And they said, wait, we were 46 years building this temple. You're going to rebuild it in 3 days? Well, the disciples also must have thought that he was talking about the literal temple. But he was talking about his body. Amen. He was talking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But he was speaking of himself. And so, it's after that that the disciples finally realized and recognized that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead, and now the third time he's appeared to them. And isn't it a shame that after this, that Peter, by the way, he's already prior to the Lord's crucifixion, if you remember, Jesus told Peter, he said, Simon, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, and that he did. And it kind of started down that path before the crucifixion and before the resurrection. And now you'd think that Peter would have learned his lesson, but he didn't, did he? There were some problems, and obviously in his heart, his mind, that he was going through. I believe that he thought, preacher, maybe, you know, I put all my eggs in this basket, and here the Lord has left us. He's taken off, and he's seen him now twice, and in his resurrected body, and his glorified, if you will. He was glorified to begin with, but nonetheless, a glorified body, a resurrected body. So now he's having some questions about, well, I wonder why the Lord's left us. So he's already forgot that he left them for a reason. And so he's going to use this fishing trip, I believe, as a message to the Apostle Peter. And I don't believe it's coincidental that three times the Apostle Peter denied the Lord. Three times he said, Simon, down the last part of this chapter, lovest thou me more than these? Three times. And I believe it's a very convicting, strong message given to a man of God that had gotten sidetracked, if you will, backslid. We're going to look at very quickly the product. What does backsliding produce? What does quitting produce? There are several things that I believe we see, not just to pick on Peter, but for us to gain some help from and to keep us from doing and following, if you will, making the same mistake. So I believe it's important that we look at the product of backsliding. Look, if you will, again in verse number 3. And we see Simon Peter's decision. In verse number 3, he said, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing, is there? However, there was something wrong for Simon. They've come the full gamut in the 3 1/3 years of the ministry of their Lord Jesus. I mean, that's where he found them, fishing. You remember? By the way, look over in, I believe it's in Luke chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken. Luke chapter 5. Because I'm not sure what. I'll just start reading verse number 1. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Do you notice that's a word plural? Nets, not just one net. I'll get back to that in just a little bit. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that He would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And verse 4, and now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your, what, nets, plural, for a drought. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, taking nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. By the way, partial obedience is not obedience. It's disobedience. He let down the net, singular. And what happens as a result? And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. You reckon that would have happened if he'd obeyed fully, if he'd have minded the Lord? You know, a lot of things in our lives break simply because of our. I don't believe there was a mistake on the Apostle Peter's part. I believe he was saying, "Man, we ain't caught nothing all night. We'll just put out one." But that ain't what the Lord said to do, is it? By the way, we partially obey the Lord when we don't do as He says to do. And I'm glad that, by the way, I can trust Him and know that He knows what's best. And if we'll just follow His instruction, we'll always come out on the winning side. And, well, notice, if you will, just for the side note there. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus saith unto Simon, Fear not, for from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Verse number 11, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now they've come the full circle here, 360 degree, if you will. They forsook all here to follow him, and now they have forsaken him to follow all. It's kind of going backwards, if you will, because they thought the Lord's gone, that their responsibilities were over, and that they were just going to bide their time. You know, there's a lot of Christians today do that, just biding their time. Thank God I'm saved on my way to heaven. Well, thank God that you are. But He's left you here for a reason. He's left us here for a purpose, to fulfill His plan, to do His will. Amen. We have an obligation then to obey. And you say, but preacher, I'm not like the Apostle Peter. The Lord tells me to put down my nets. That's what I'm going to do. And by the way, I don't know what happened to the nets, but now it's a singular net. It's come to in chapter 21. And so we understand that obeying the Lord is important because we are the benefactors. We always are. Mankind, again, will benefit from the child of God that will live his life in absolute obedience to the Lord Jesus and fulfill the will of God for his life. And by the way, the truth is, boy, that was a thrill to see those kids come up here. In everything, give thanks, for this is... You kids, you know you fulfilled the will of God by coming up here and thanking the Lord for your parents and thanking you, Lord, the Lord for your pastor, and on and on. Man, and the adults too. But I know that doesn't mean the rest of you are not thankful. I'm just saying, man, that's a blessing to see. Amen. I'm excited when I see little ones. Man, that thrills my soul. See little ones being thankful for their blessing. But that's one thing that's missing in our homes today. Mom and Dad, your kids need to understand the importance of appreciation. Amen. And that is the will of God, that we be thankful for the things that God's blessed us with. Thankful for a mom and dad. Thankful for a church. Thankful for the Word of God. Thankful, by the way, for a pastor. Thankful for friends. Thankful, again, for all the blessings that God's given. And you don't have to look very far to realize there's a lot of people got a whole lot worse than we have. I've talked to a few of you folks, and I don't know. I have a compassionate heart. I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying when I see somebody that has a physical impairment or whatever, I've often wondered, brother Terry, why the Lord didn't make us all Down syndrome folks. Have you ever been around the Down syndrome kids and people? Have you ever seen one that was not thankful and grateful and just happy-go-lucky. And I got a good friend, Pastor Arvin Harrell. He has a granddaughter that's Down syndrome, and just the sweetest little girl you ever meet in your life. And I'm not questioning the Lord. I'm just saying I believe that maybe the Lord shows us an attitude in those that have that birth physical impairment. Maybe more what it's going to be like in heaven. I get a little weary with people with attitudes and complaints. I think it's time, honestly, that the church close our book of complaints and open our book of praise and just keep it open. Amen. You know what? By the way, you'd set your pastor afire. I don't know. Maybe you do that here. But the truth is, I've been pastoring long enough to know that everybody's got a book of complaints, and you, just at the right moment, they're going to come to you with them. Amen. And I've got a complaint box on my desk. Just put them in that box. And then we file them in a bigger box later, and I don't ever read them. But it makes them feel good to offer their complaints. And you know, I've learned a long time ago that here's the deal. If you live your life to please God, it does not matter who you displease. But if you live your life to please men, not please God, then it doesn't matter who you do please. So I'd a lot rather please God than everybody I know. Because truth is, you can't. But we can please the Lord. We can live our lives in such a way that by the way, God's given us the option. We talked about it this morning, the sovereignty of God. And I'm glad that God made it abundantly clear. We have a choice. We have a choice in salvation. We have a choice in service. We have a choice in surrender. We have a choice if we're going to be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do. You don't have to do the wrong thing. Here's the deal. My son called me, my oldest son, one day. He was in Bible college, Bible school up in Missouri. And after he had left the house, and his name's Clint, and he called me one day and said, "Dad," he said, "I just wanted to call and say thank you." I said, "Thank me for what?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know, when I was at home, and even for a while after I got away from home in Bible school up here," he said, "I didn't know whether I was living your convictions or my own." He said, "One day it just registered on me up here that you're not here, and I could do anything I wanted to do." But he said, "You know what I find myself doing?" He said, "I find myself doing the same thing that I was doing at home, and it just dawned on me that they're not your convictions, they're mine." Boy, I tell you, that was a great day for me, Brother McGovern. How that blessed my soul, amen. I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I've learned? When children are this small, this age, you've got to have some control over them. By the way, and as long as they're in the house, you're going to have some control over them. Do you know what I'm saying? The larger they get, the older they get, then the less control and the more leadership takes place. You lead them. By the way, if they're going to make the wrong decision, by all means, put your foot down, stop them. Amen. If it's going to be something detrimental, but I learned and I saw, I watched even a lot of preachers that became so controlling with their 17, 18-year-old children, and after they got out of the house, here's what they had to do in order to prove that Daddy was not in control of their life. They had to do the wrong thing, didn't have a choice in the matter now. Now, if I'm telling you anything different than what your pastor would tell you, you listen to him and not me. But I learned that, you know what, if you'll train them and the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and there comes a time, you set them down, you try to help them make the right decision, and guess what, one of these days, they'll say, "You know what? I'm making the right decision, but not because Daddy or Mama's making me. I'm doing it because this is what the Lord wants me to do, and I'm glad that the Lord allows me to be able to serve Him freely and be faithful to Him." And they'll get a sense of appreciation for their upbringing, and they'll get appreciation for the Word of God and the things of God. I'm telling you, it'll work. By the way, I'm not You're going to have to answer to God if you think I'm bragging about this. We've got five children. Every one of them are in the ministry. We just married our youngest one. We told our youngest daughter. We got the empty nest syndrome going on now, and I thought it'd just be the wife, but I'm having a worse problem with it than she is. Our baby girl, 21, and just got married. Man, by the way, it was 13 years between our two babies. So we had two babies, like the preacher. But anyway, she married a preacher. I tried to talk her out of it. But, and he's a concert pianist and play and sing and preach, and he can preach circle. All my kids can. But anyway, I'm just thankful for the fact that God has allowed me to have some insight from men of God and from preaching and from studying and from, again, watching other people, Christians, do the right thing, the right way, train up their children right. Hey, I don't take any credit for it. And I say to God be the glory, but you listen to him. And I know any one of them tomorrow could fall. I understand that. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Lord, just saying, thank God, it's been worth every mile. It's been worth every trial. I'm just going to keep serving him. I'm going to go on and stay with the one that brought me. Amen. Boy, you ought to make up your mind to do the same thing, because it is worth it. It is worth it to serve the Lord. And by the way, the benefits are literally out of this world. What a deal. Well, I got a little sidetracked there, and we'll get back in here in the message. Where was I? I know that Simon Peter, no doubt, was discouraged. I don't know. Perhaps he thought until he got to heaven, it's going to be the last fellowship personally with the Lord Jesus. I'm not sure about that. I'm just guessing. But I do know this, that all of us, from time to time, get discouraged. And the problem with discouragement is that it's much like a contagious disease. It spreads. Amen. I don't know about you, but if I get around people that are discouraged, before long, I get down in the mouth just like they are. And so, what are you saying? You know what the Apostle Peter did here? He said, well, I go fishing, verse number 3. What's the very next sentence? The disciples said, they said, also go with thee. We also go with thee. You realize that everything, the Sunday school lesson this morning is excellent. Everything that you do affects somebody else. The kind of testimony you have, the kind of story your life is telling, affects others. And the Apostle Peter, I don't think he even considered that. But here, these other disciples decided to go with him. And I got a lot to cover here, and I'm not going to try to finish it all. But we see, first of all, there in verse number 3, the Apostle Peter's decision. The product of quitting or backsliding, and I go fishing. We get sidetracked from what the Lord's left us to do, what he's given us again as a responsibility, an obligation. They forsook all, back in Luke chapter 5 we looked at, to follow him. Now they've decided, you know what, I had all my eggs in this basket and he's gone. They thought still that evidently that the Lord was going to set up his kingdom at that time, right then after the resurrection. And when it didn't happen, then discouragement set in. And by the way, if you're not careful, you'll get discouraged too about, you just fill in the blank, but especially about the Lord not operating on your timetable. Not doing what you think he ought to do in certain circumstances. Aren't you glad that we have a heavenly Father that loves us and he knows what's best? And sometimes, by the way, if God would have done things my way that would not turned out nearly as productive as just going ahead and submitting. Say, well, by the way, if you can change a situation, then change it. But if you can't change it, then why worry about it? You can't change it anyway. And I know, especially concerning health problems and things that are out of our control, that we question the Lord. But by the way, it's okay to ask why. The Lord did. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now listen to me. What's not okay is demanding the response that you want. When we ask why, we just say, Lord, I don't understand this. But nevertheless, Jesus prayed. I'll share a little story with you about that. I was, you know, John Bishop, he's at the youth camp there in Rosebud, Arkansas. Well, he contracted spinal meningitis. Long story short, lost all of his memory and just almost died and had to relearn everything and just blank slate. He said, except for the prayer list, the people that he prayed for every day on his prayer list. And the reason I know that, because he told me I was on that list, and I just was very humbled, but thank the Lord. And he lost all of his memory. He began to get better and regain all of that. Long story short, he was preaching for us a revival when I was in Florine. And I noticed right after the service, he got done preaching. He talked very slow and deliberately still because of the sickness that he had. But anyway, he got done. He said, Brother Rusty, will you take me to my room? I need to lay down. So anyway, I knew he was not feeling well. Just he had to have a terrible migraine headaches. So I took him into his room and little missions prophet's quarters we had there. So I said, Brother John, you going to be okay? I could tell he was hurting real bad. He'd get severe migraine headaches just come on him all at once. And so anyway, I could tell he was hurting real bad. And I just hesitantly went on home and tried to lay him down. And about 12:30 in the morning, I was concerned about him because I tried to get him, let me take him to the hospital or whatever. He wouldn't do it. So anyway, I go back down there, and I said, I'm just going to listen, just see if he's still awake. He was actually crying before I left, and I could hear him in there still crying, Brother Terry. And I went in, and I said, Brother John, you okay? No answer. I could still hear him crying. Well, I opened his door, and I peeped in, and he's sitting in the middle of the bed, just holding his head like this, just weeping, rocking back and forth. I said, Brother John, I'm going to call an ambulance. He said, No, Brother Rusty, it will be all right. I said, Please let me call. He said, No. He said, Brother Rusty, you ever been where you couldn't pray for yourself? I said, Brother John, honestly, I don't think I have. He said, Brother Rusty, I'm there now. Would you please pray for me? And he made this statement. He said, Brother Rusty, you ever thought about that word that Jesus prayed, nevertheless? I said, not until right now. I knew what he was saying. Let this cup pass from me. I've seen people hurting, and I've seen a whole lot of things that I would not have ordered for them in their lives and for myself as well. But I'm glad that the Lord knows what we need, and even when we can't trace His hand, we can always trust His heart, knowing that His purpose is the most important thing. Well, let me throw these others at you and let you go. But we see his decision. Your decision is going to affect somebody else. We see his distraction there in verse number 3. So we also go with thee. I'm just going to give you the outline and we'll go. And then we see their disappointment. These are things that backsliding, if you will, or quitting will produce. This is what you want to produce with your life, then just follow the example. I don't think that'd be the case for anybody here. Is decision. By the way, every decision, your life is a sum total of the decisions you made. How important every decision is. All of them. There's no such thing as a small decision. Because every decision will lead you to another one. Be careful. Get God's direction. Get God's counsel from your pastor. Get your mom, your dad. Hey, everybody needs to understand the importance of every decision, because it's not just going to affect you. Mom and dad, even with your children. Do you realize your children are going to be somebody's wife one day or somebody's husband? And it does make a difference what you do with them. Because they're going to be turning loose on society. My goodness, does that scare us sometimes. We see, we're living in a generation now that the kids, we pick them up on the buses and they don't have a mom or a dad at home. Many of them being raised by the grandparents. And when that's necessary, I understand that. And that's okay. But I tell you, drugs are so rampant and in our area. I don't know about here. But, man, I'm telling you, it's just crazy. And kids are raising themselves. And what a mess. We got all kinds of problems in our country, in our land, simply because people don't realize the consequences of the decisions that they make. Not just you. For the Lord's sake, think about what you're doing before you do it. Understand that it makes a difference. Every decision is going to influence and affect somebody else. You know, many times that's kept me going, preacher. I've thought about, you know, if I did this, my flesh wanted to. A great young preacher out of our church messed up. Brother Terry, he repented and was heartbroken, and I was heartbroken for him. He got it right, I mean, all the way to the core. Matter of fact, that young man's pastoring church now. He stood before our church and apologized, and he said, preacher, pastor, church, he said, if I could say one thing, he said, I only wish that my character then, before this incident, had been as strong as my grief is now. You ought to think about that. I wish my character then would have been as strong or stronger than my grief is now. Regret. Well, we've all got them. See the disappointment. They're caught nothing. And that's what backsliding produces. Then thank God for the Lord's direction. He said, cast the net. Singular. On the other side. Where are the nets? I'll let you think about that. I had another preacher the other day brought that out to me. Difference. We see his difference. The difference is they caught nothing out of the will of God. Jesus said, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And now, we well know the difference. Your life will be far more productive doing it God's way than your own way, doing your own thing. Now caught. I hope some of us tonight just say, well, like the songwriter said, I'm pressing on the upward way. new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, a higher ground, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, he said, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That ought to be the desire of every child of God here. Well, I don't want to go back. Lord, I don't want to forsake you. See, they forsook all to follow Jesus, and now they've forsaken all to follow their own desires. Going back to the old life. You know, by the way, a true child of God, he may visit back, but he can't stay. He ain't going to be able to stay there long. Because truth is that I know that you know it, that if we refuse to listen to the Lord, the Bible talks about chastening in Hebrews in chapter 12, I believe. The Lord chastens his children. If there's no chastening, there's no sonship. And you quite well know that. And I can't say for certain, but I suppose I have been chastened by the Lord before, but maybe not spiritually alert enough to understand it or recognize it. But anyway, and then we see his dinner. And by the way, thank the Lord. The presence of the Lord's revealed. The shepherd of the sheep. He's the sovereign of the sea. He's the sustainer of the servant. He's the supporter of the spiritless. He's the seeker of the stranger. He's the strength of the service. He's the service, and I should say, rather, the securer of the saint. What a Savior. What a God. We see his discourse. I'm not going to preach it, but Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Why? Have you ever had anybody to ask you, do you really love me? Maybe a child, maybe a parent. You really care. I can't think of a more heart-wrenching conversation than to have our Savior. I don't believe it's the last time he's asked. Oh, I know it's in the Scripture, and I know that the last time he asked Peter this, but I believe there have been a lot of folks that have backslid, quit serving the Lord, gone back on the Lord. That those words ring clear in our ears. I don't know the times that I can count, but I know that I've heard those words after I've done something, had an attitude. You ever get mad at God? By the way, how's that working for you? Lovest thou me more than these? I've taken too much liberty, taken too much time, but I'm going to close with this. I'm mighty thankful that not only the Lord saved me, but he's been mighty gracious. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, unconfessed sin is going to lead us, will lead you to the path of backsliding. And the product of being a backslider is nothing. Have you any meat? What'd they say? They didn't go into some long discourse and explain why that they weren't catching any fish. The same thing that you and I say when the Lord asks us, what are you doing? What are you accomplishing? Have you any meat? No. You ever been fishing, didn't catch anything? What's the thing you try to avoid when you get back home? When the wife asks, how many did y'all catch? You change the subject. You didn't catch none. You don't want to talk about it. You're in a bad mood. Have you any meat? Just one word. No. What kind of response will that be for us to stand before the Lord one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ? So I'm not like the Apostle Peter. Oh, but we are. Your life counting for Him. It may be tonight or this evening that the Lord spoke to your heart. I don't know. I just try to mind the Lord. It's up to Him to do with it whatever He wants, and you to do with whatever He speaks to you about. Preacher, after some time I got looking, trying to produce results. All of us preachers probably have done that, and I've been guilty even of lately trying to do that. Just say, Lord, why? In my own church, why? No response sometimes. You just wonder, is it me, Lord? And very clearly, there's a message He has to keep replaying in my mind and heart. You leave the results up to me. You do what I want you to do. Leave the results up to me. The preacher, does He speak to you in an audible voice? No, it's much louder than that. We be sensitive to His will. I wonder with our heads bowed.